Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Canada with Conrad Black, a distinguished biographer writing at the National Post about a imbroglio that's growing into a scandal. I read a headline from the National Post. Disturbing details about China's interference that Johnston discovered and downplayed. Johnston seems to have been more focused on absolving the PM than using his unique entree into the intelligence world to sound the alarm. This requires much explication. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Who is Mr. Johnston, and what has he done that so upset the Canadian media from stem to stern? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. David Johnston is a career university administrator and latterly a government official. In this country, it is officially a monarchy, but since the monarch whom we share with Britain and Australia and is, you know, better known as the King of the United Kingdom, Charles III now, is rarely here. The chief of state, in effect, is a person called the Governor General. And it's a ceremonial position. They sign laws and open parliament and things like that. But in the event of a parliamentary crisis, they do have the authority to, as the monarch in Britain does, to call upon somebody to form a government. But they don't actually run a government. And that was the position that Johnston held, and he was appointed to it because his previous occupation, he'd been head of two of the widely respected universities in this country. So it was thought to be a good background for him and for that position. So and I have had my differences with him in various things over the years, going back to when he was in the private sector. But so, you know, there's no rapport between us. But I know him somewhat over many years. And I will say that he did perform quite adequately as the Governor General of the country. So it was surprising that he accepted to be put into this very ambiguous position, because he has been invited to receive reports of those officially charged with investigating allegations of Chinese government attempted interference in the last two Canadian general elections. And he's been given this, as we discussed in a previous episode a few weeks ago, he's been given this absurd title, pretentious title, of special rapporteur, which means in French the same as it does in English. It means a reporter. It's a recording secretary in English. I mean, a rapporteur is really just someone who attends upon discussions, conversations, meetings, and then summarize them, writes up a summary for them. And the question has been all along why and what the motive was for the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, to appoint this special position at all. Because we have an agency of government whose entire task it is to monitor and look into the functioning of our intelligence and security services to prevent abuses and recommend improvements in efficiency and so forth, but to watch them. You know, they have a broad latitude. They operate almost outside the law. So in any democracy, you want somebody monitoring them to make sure they don't get out of control. And we also have a parliamentary committee of all parties, and all of the members have a full security clearance and pledge to secrecy, which has never been violated, also to monitor it. So we have a parliamentary monitor and an administrative monitor, And the question that's being put here is, why didn't we just tell them to look specially into these allegations about the Chinese and report on it, and things that have to be kept silent, not disclosed for reasons of national security or to protect authentic agents or something like that? That's fine. Everyone accepts that some of these things just are better not disclosed, but as long as we know we're getting at them. And so the government put in David Johnson on the theory that he had a sufficiently impressive record as a public servant and head of two of our better respected universities to receive these recommendations from these two organizations, and then he would make a report. So the allegation was made at the outset, since he's a friend of the prime minister and a known supporter of his party, and has been appointed to various things by this government, and was a director of the Trudeau Foundation, who received a sizable grant from the Chinese, which was part of the controversy. What purpose could he possibly have other than to try and sanitize the report of these two organizations and protect the government from criticism? And so his claim he gave an interim report a couple of days ago, in which he said that he went into this position hoping that he would be able at this point to say there will be public hearings, but he now finds that so much of the information is classified, it wouldn't be possible, or at least recommendable, to have public hearings, but instead he will receive the reports and keep them to himself, but will hold hearings where people, interested groups, can come and ask him questions, understanding they won't get specific answers. So naturally, there has been a tremendous uproar from all of the opposition parties here, and taken all together, all four of them, they are the majority, not the government. So the government is getting close to the position, I would say, where they're going to provoke a crisis in Parliament where they could be defeated, resulting in a new election. Now, I assume they can navigate around that, and I don't want to prejudge anyone's guilt here, but the whole idea of putting Johnson in and the catastrophic press conference he had a couple of days ago, where he was trying to defend this nonsense, has sharply raised the tension in the capital of this country, and it created the possibility. That's all it is at this point, but the possibility that the government, or at least the prime minister's role, could lose the confidence of Parliament, which in the system we have here, it's like the British. If that happens, you call an election.
The perception of non-transparency is everything. The perception of influence peddling is everything. And from Mr. Johnston's remarks the other day, and I witnessed it in the video, he appeared very uncomfortable with what he was presenting. So let's be specific about what we do know about the conduct of the Chinese representatives in Canada these last years. A conservative MP, Michael Chong, the search for information about his family members, the attempt to brutalize him and his family with threats, all of that is in the public record. We can only guess how much worse it is by measuring that Mr. Johnson thinks that it should be kept secret. At this point, the prime minister has to come into this. And I want to understand why the prime minister is standing aside and why he chose David Johnston, whom he knew was going to be compromised by being a member of the board of the Trudeau Foundation. Do we have an insight as to how Justin Trudeau made these decisions?
No, not as such, but I think we can surmise a few things. Johnston was, it's fair to say, generally quite well respected for his performance as Governor General. The fact that he wasn't by me is because of matters between him and me that were also a question of some controversy at one point. But that's a special case. And I mean, that wasn't a large part of his record in his 6 years in that position. And I think it's fair to say that he was generally highly regarded and felt that he had done a good job in that position. So the idea, it is assumed, in the mind of the prime minister was that Here's a well-respected public official and now an elderly man, fully competent and agile and mentally alert, but in his early 80s now, and a person who would command wide respect and enjoy quite wide credibility. Let's put him into this position of exercising discretion about what is made public, ostensibly for reasons of national security and the requirements of, as we've been talking about, of some of these things not being publicly revealed. Let's put him in there. He's well disposed to us. He's a friend of mine. He's a neighbor in the country and so on, so would say the prime minister. And let's hope that he presents as positive a picture of the government's role in these matters as he can. And the allegations against the government are, this is because of leaks out of the security agencies, which are very rare here. It's not like your FBI, which is a virtual Niagara River of leaks at times. I mean, it's just very rare. But the leaks have been published that successive governments ignored warnings that the Chinese were abusing their positions. All sorts of diplomats are really spies. Many students in universities were spies. They were intimidating the families of Chinese Canadians. Those members of the family still lived in China to sort of get leverage on them. And they were influencing various Chinese Canadian office holders, by which I mean, you know, fully qualified Canadian citizens with complete credentials of Chinese ancestry, but with families in China or interests in China, which made them vulnerable to pressure from the government of China. And the what's called the Security and Intelligence Service had been warning successive governments about this for 20 years, and nothing was being done about it. And finally, somebody became very impatient and dumped this leak into the press, and then a series of leaks. So it started bubbling up very quickly. I mean, to the extent that the allegations in the leaks are true, I mean, I wouldn't know, obviously, but if they are true, that is an outrageous provocation from China. I don't think it is the case that they had a significant influence on the outcome of the election as a whole, but that they do appear possibly to have influenced the outcome in certain areas in the far west of this country.
I'm speaking to Conrad Black, who writes at the National Post what we know so far about the investigation of Chinese interference, brutality towards the people of Canada and their election process. Not only 2019, but also 2021 and continuing. There's no reason to believe this has ended. So when we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Matthews.